Okay, welcome everyone. It looks like the recording is started and we're ready to go. So welcome to Module 4. Again, I know I just said this over there when I was not recording, but thanks to everyone who completed their assessment reports. Hopefully you have those with you. You don't need them, by the way. You will not need them. It's nice to have them to look at, but it's not a necessity or requirement. So what we're going to talk about today is your valuing habits. Because last time, I believe, we talked about value dynamics and axiology and intrinsic, extrinsic, systemic value dimensions. And what you did was you took an assessment where we actually measured those things. So let's recap Modules 1 through 3 before we get into this one. I truly believe that the only thing in your life that you have complete control over is your reaction and your response to your own thoughts. There's very little else that we have control over. I mean, here I'm working from home, right? And my dog will probably bark during this session, as I think she did last time. And those things happen. We just keep moving along, right? So recap. First module, we talked about mindfulness. This allows you to become aware that you actually have a choice, that you can respond and react to any situation that's coming up. So I'm hoping that you are still continuing to practice your mindfulness exercises. And I hope that you're finding a few that you like best, that you'll continue to do. And then every once in a while, and I hope to remind you of this in your homework, you go back and you look at some of the other mindfulness, like being mindful when you're eating, or the email swap out, or the walking meditation. I hope that you'll try some different ones as you get better at using the one that you like the most. All right. Next, we talked about mindset. Mindset, being willing to make that choice, being willing to use the ability and the awareness that you have to look at life, well, hopefully from a growth mindset, right? Have you been practicing that? Have you been finding areas in your life where you have a fixed mindset?
Because, as I mentioned earlier before I came on the recording, I don't know how many times I've done this, six times, at least minimum six, seven times, this class, this course, here over the web, and I still find these pesky little fixed mindsets throughout my life. All right, and then last time, in Module 3, we talked about value dynamics. And this is about, okay, you're aware you can make a choice, right? You're willing to make a choice, and now, okay, what choice did you make? And how can you make a choice that creates the greatest value, that has the greatest impact on people's lives? That's what that's all about. And we looked at value transpositions and being able to recognize crap, right? When you look back on something and say, why did I do that? It's probably because you realized you transposed value. Now, you didn't know why you were doing it. You just realized you didn't create as much value as you wanted to. So hopefully, again, you've taken your first step, you've taken the VQ profile, received your first steps report, and reviewed it a little bit. In Module 4, what we're going to cover is your first steps report, because I know a lot of you have questions about that, so that's what most of our time is going to be spent on. And then we're going to talk about the three R's of habit formation, because what the VQ profile measures is your valuing habits, and everybody, I say everybody, that's rather systemic. Almost everybody looks at their two lowest that show up there, and whether you agree with them or disagree with them, most of you will agree with at least one of them and part of the stuff on the pages, which we'll talk about coming up, and you want to fix it. That's what we want to do. We want to fix those low VQs, and we're going to be talking about what you really want to do. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing that needs fixed. So we're going to talk about how to use your strength and use the three R's of habit formation to do that and raise your level of thinking. Okay? This will be fun. If you do your homework, you'll find this to be fun. And there's only three steps, and you'll find that you miss one. It'll be fun next time when we go through the Q&A session. So your first steps report, what we measured when you took that assessment
were 36 different valuing perspectives that you can take in your mind. 36 different ways you can look at the world. And what we gave you was your results for three of them. Your two lowest and your most valuable strength, VQ100. All of you that took it have more than one VQ100. We're going to show you one because we want you to learn how to use it. I don't want you just to read your report and say, oh, yeah, that's me, or that's nice, or I agree with it, or I don't agree with it. That's not what this report is for. It's for you to, well, use and learn and develop. So if you haven't yet taken it, what you're going to be asked to do is rank two sets of 18 items. And here are the things that you rank. And you slide these up and down, right? You put the best thing at the top, and you put the worst thing at the bottom, and the rest in between. Now, when you completed your VQ profile, you probably didn't realize that there is a mathematical hierarchy, a true mathematical order behind those items. And axiology is the science of value and value judgments we talked about last time. It allows us to compare your thinking and valuing habits that you've developed over your lifetime against a mathematical hierarchy of value. So I like to say we compare your personal hierarchy of value with a mathematical hierarchy of value. Now, I know some of you are sitting there thinking, who put them in that order and all that? We'll talk about that in a little bit and probably more in our upcoming Q&A session as well. So what is the VQ profile measure? First of all, I want you to understand that because it's not your typical personality or behavioral assessment. It measures your capacity to think. If you notice, we didn't ask you if you were an introvert or extrovert, if you like tasks or people. It wasn't anything like that where you self-assessed. We just asked you to think. And thinking is at the root of everything that you do, every choice you make, every action you take. And you think thousands and thousands of thoughts every day. You make conscious choices, and you also make automatic choices based on your habits of thinking, the stuff that you've developed over a lifetime. Now, all these have worked for you to get you where you are, so we're not complaining about any of them. Right? You're in a pretty good spot. You're pretty successful. And when it comes to all the people in the world, you are extremely successful. So how does it measure this? Well, it measures it, your thinking across all three dimensions of value at 18 different types of valuation. And again, if you're interested in diving real deep into this, we can do that in a Q&A. as well, but not everybody's interested in all the math like I get excited about it. So thinking about your habits, do you suppose over your lifetime that you may have created some habits of mind or some ways of looking at the world, some attitudes and perceptions that might not be very helpful in getting you where you want to go in the future? I think we all have, right? And if you could know which of your ways of thinking can support you best for your future success, wouldn't you want to use those more? Yeah. And also, if you could learn which ones are going to sabotage you, which ways of thinking were going to sabotage you, wouldn't you want to know that too? So that you can now use your mindfulness to ignore those thoughts and move on. Like we talked about the critic and the coach, right? So here's the thing. Your profile, it's not going to tell you what you think, because we don't want to know all of that, right? But it can tell us how you think, how you process your thinking. Is it possible, Bryce says, to get 100% on all VQ areas if you sort them with total perception and value judgment? Well, Bryce, yes, it is possible to get a 100%. Let's see, I've been doing this for 10 years, have never seen it. My business partner, Harvey, has been doing this for 43 years and has never seen it. Unless you like know all the, unless you go out and do the research. I mean, I know the correct order, if you want to call that correct. But there's no correct, because this assessment isn't about you getting it right. This isn't a test. This is about, think about the growth mindset. Everybody there, come to your growth mindset. This is about you learning about your thinking so you can use your best thinking. So yes, Bryce, it is possible to get all 100s. we've never seen it in real life. Rumor has it that Dr. Hartman, this is the Hartman Value Profile, so he did this on hundreds of thousands of people. Rumor has it that he did have someone get 100%. And you're wondering, oh my gosh, was it like the Dalai Lama or, you know, somebody? No, rumor, again, I don't know if it's true, is that it was an Arkansas pig farmer. So I don't know what that says about anything. But remember, this report isn't telling you how you are, right? It's discovering for you which of your thoughts are going to serve you and which are likely to get in your way. And the quantitative results allow us to gain greater insight and understanding into how our thoughts, our valuing habits, that internal dialogue that's always churning inside of our head, how it's impacting our choices and our actions. And of course, the results that you're getting. Now, one thing I want to be sure to point out is this does not measure, again, what you think. It does not measure your personality traits, your likes or your dislikes. And it does not measure your behaviors, your characteristics, and your attributes, the person that you are. So as you were reading it, if you've taken these personality type assessments in the past, you would read those personality assessments and then you'd say, yeah, I agree with that. Yes, I don't. Well, most of the time you would because, well, you're the one that told it that you were that way. And so then it's telling you how you are. It's what happens when you look out your own eyes, back at yourself, and you write it down on a piece of paper. You tend to recognize it. This is just asking you to think, and you may not tend to recognize some of the stuff on the pages that you have in front of you with your first steps report because it doesn't measure something that you see all the time. It measures what's going on in your head. Whole reason I got into this business, my friends, is because I took this assessment, not the exact one that you take, but a different one, and it knew that I had low self-esteem. It knew that I didn't value myself very much. And I thought I'd covered that up pretty well by continuing to reach the levels of success I had reached in my career. And that just blew my mind because I was really good at covering that stuff up, or so I thought. But it was still there. It was still there in my head. And I spent a lot of time and energy covering that up. I don't know if you know what I mean, but some of you probably have those thoughts that are just recurring in your head and you know they're stupid, you know you should ignore them, and you spend a lot of time trying to ignore them and shut them up and not pay attention to them, not have them impact your life. Those were the kind of thoughts that I had as well. So Daniel said, yeah, I found the same thing. Denise says, some assessment statements seem much stronger and extreme than I see in myself. Absolutely, Denise. So thank you for bringing that up. As we go through the report, well, let me just tell you this right now. As you read through the paragraphs, they will get stronger because I want to give you a little secret right here, right up front. I'm going to be very open with you and honest since I am one of the creators of the assessment. Every measurement has only three pages that you can get. You can get the page if you got the VQ100. You can get the page if the bubble went to the right, which we'll talk about. And you can get the page if the bubble went to the left. Whether the bubble goes to the right to 91%, which is one off, or to 10%, which is eight or more off, the words on the page are the same. And so that's why I ask you to please highlight the stuff that you agree with and ignore the stuff that you don't. Because if your lowest VQ is around a 10% or 37% or something like that, you might agree with a lot of stuff on the page. Might, still not always. And if your lowest is only a 67 or a 75%, well then you're probably not going to agree with most of the stuff on the page. So what I want you to do, what you're going to do is look for what you do recognize. Because again, this isn't about what's wrong with you. This is about helping you recognize the thoughts that might be getting in your way. So, Khursheed, I'll answer that question coming up as well. So, some people say, oh, this is an assessment about our values, like your core values. And I also want to caution you against that because it's not about your core values. It's about how you make value judgments. And so let me tell you, let me show you the difference, okay? So, here. All right. You guys recognize this? It's a test for color blindness, right? So, is anybody colorblind on the call? Raise your hand over there if you happen to be colorblind. Let's see if I got any hand raises over there. I'm looking. I don't think. Oh, I do. Okay. All right, Anthony's out there. Good. So, what do you guys see here on the screen for this colorblind test? And I'm going to be looking for Anthony's answer in particular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you see a number inside the bubbles? Yeah, number 12. Right. See, even Anthony sees a number 12. Absolutely. No matter what, listen, if you don't see anything, you're not colorblind, you're blind. And I'm not making light of that if you can't see anything. That's just what... This is something that everybody should see. And if you say you can't see something, then you're probably fibbing. Now, let's look at this other one. And stick with me because we're going to bring all of this together. Now, what do you see? Mm-hmm. Yep. Anthony, what do you got? Oh, good. You're not red-green colorblind. So 29 is usually what people see when they look in here. Good. Everyone's saying that. You know, Diana, Matt, Odd, Wynn, Laverne. Yeah, you all got it. Number 29. Okay? So people who are red-green colorblind, they sometimes see a 70, or if you're totally colorblind, you don't see anything at all but a whole bunch of little circles. Okay? And then how about this one? Anyone see anything there? Again, if you're red-green colorblind, you sometimes see a 45. But if you're not colorblind, you really don't see anything very clearly. It does kind of, Kathy, you're right, looks like a big four in there somehow. Yes, I can see that, but not anything clearly. That's right. So here's the thing. How does this relate to the difference between value and values? Well, value is your ability to distinguish color. Okay? And this is, we measure this in the VQ profile. We measure your ability to see different types of value or different colors, if we're going to use that analogy, all right? Now, values is your preference for one color over another. So let me ask you this. What's your favorite color? Anyone have a favorite color? Oh, Denise goes with lavender. Blue for Crystal. Saad says blue. Carrie's purple. Anne, you're different. Fuchsia, very nice. Elisa, pink. Kathy, purple. Laverne, depends on the day. Like that. Khrushchev says green. Wynn says blue. Bryce, crimson. Uh-oh. And what's really funny, Bryce, is I didn't have my camera on, but I have on some LSU clothes today. So crimson. That was sort of made my sweater just all curl up. All right. Ed's blue. Leslie's purple. Great. So here's the thing. If you are red, green, colorblind, red and green or can't be your favorite color, right? Neither red nor green could be your favorite, because you can't see the color. Is that making you all with me there? Great. And so what the VQ profile measures is your ability to see the colors, and then the values assessment. So what is the core value, one of the core values that you hold most dear, right? It can be integrity. It can be empathy. That tells me that you can see intrinsic value. It can be efficiency, effectiveness. That tells me that you can see extrinsic value. It could be something that has to do with being fair, right? Judging right and wrong. And that's systemic. Now, if you aren't very good at seeing systemic value, rules and fairness and processes, they can't be valuable to you because you don't see value in that dimension. Am I making sense for you guys? Are you with me? I'm hoping that you're with me in terms of the difference. Again, the difference between what we measure and what's not measured. So can I repeat the second example? Yeah. So I think when I was talking about extrinsic value, if you value effectiveness, right? If you value results, if you value money, tangible things, if you value cars and houses, right? Those are fine things to value. That's on your list of your core values, is that financial wherewithal. Well, then you can see extrinsic value, which is what that. But if you can't see extrinsic value, if that's not a strength of yours to see extrinsic value, you think people who value houses and cars, they're like, they're stupid or something, because you don't see it. And those, we'll get through more of this as we go through the process, but just stick with me. I just want you to know that your assessment report doesn't have anything to do with your core values. It just helps us know whether you can see those or not. So let's talk about your results, because I know that's where you want to go. So it is the ability to choose which makes us human. And this assessment, it enables us to give you personalized tools that you can use to make better use of your ability to choose, of your best thinking, while avoiding or even eliminating the negative influence of some thinking habits that might be getting in your way. So what are these low VQs? What do they even mean? So I think these are on pages 6 and 7 of your first steps report. And this is where you're going to see your two lowest scores. And they represent perspectives where your habits of mind may not clearly or accurately reflect all of reality. Because what happens in our brains is that when we're trained to do something, we're also trained to ignore other stuff. So for me, when I was young, I was trained not to talk to strangers, right? You guys all know that if you've heard my story, right? Mom told me, I mean, I was born first. Mom was 18 when she had me. And I have to tell you, right, that she was 17 when she got married. So within a year of her, like 10 days before her first anniversary, I was born. And then another 362 days later, when my mom was now 19, my sister Shelley was born. And we're the same age for 3 days, which is kind of cool. And then a year and a half later, my sister Chrissy was born. And if you can't tell, my mom was Catholic. just teasing. And then a couple years later, my sister Marcy was born. So my mom was 23 with taking four of us grocery shopping. And so we would go to the AMP and my mom would tell us not to talk to strangers. And that makes perfect sense why a mom would tell, you know, her 4-year-old not to talk to strangers, because she did not want me wandering off with a stranger. And thankfully, I didn't, right? And so what happens in our brain is I keep hearing that and thinking that and listening to my mom. Part of the picture right over here on the side here, part of this goes away because I start filtering out strangers. And then other things happened in my life and I decided, you know, well, I mean, really, why do you have to be friends with people anyways in school? Because they're just jerks most of the time. And then you're going to graduate from college. And I wasn't going to stay in the little podunk town of Gannett, Pennsylvania. So I didn't really need any friends. So I started weeding out this whole right side of my world. And basically, I just talked to my sisters. Two of the three I really like. I'm just teasing. Well, a little bit, right? You always have that. So that's what our low VQs mean. They point out areas in our lives where we might have blind spots. Now, did I know like that what was happening when I wasn't able to talk to strangers? Well, yeah, I was definitely afraid to speak in front of people, but I didn't know where it came from. And by the way, where it came from doesn't matter. I was able to see it in my VQ profile, I was able to see that I devalued the humanness of human beings because to me they were dangerous and I undervalued those. So let's talk about some of the frequently asked questions. Khursheed, I think this is what you meant. Oh, no, you guys talked about the bubble, but I'll talk about that too. So what does it mean when it goes to the left or to the right? So when it goes to the right, it tells me that your brain is in the habit of overvaluing what we measured, okay? Meaning that it was supposed to be number 5. Mathematically, it was number 5 on the list, and you put it higher than that. You put it at number 4 or 3 or 2. Now, the numbers. Somebody asked me about the numbers. Let's say it was supposed to be number 5, and you put it at number 4. It would go to the right, and that bubble would say 91%. If you put it at number 3, meaning you overvalued it by 2 positions, it would say 83. By 3 positions, it would say 75. If you overvalued it by 4 positions, it would say 67 or something like that. It just keeps going in about little eights or nine, or sevens, eights or nine steps there in between each of the steps. And in my example, you can't go above 4 because 5, you can only put it at number 1. But you can keep going that way. All right. Does that answer the question there? Hopefully. All right. And then subsequently, when it goes to the left, it means that you undervalued that perspective. Do you need to know this to use your report? Absolutely not. This is helpful for me. And if you go on to look at your full report or other programs that we have, this can be very helpful to you. But right now, you don't need to know this. At the level we're at, this is the foundational stuff. It just tells us what words to put on the page for you. Okay? You with me? So you remember we were talking about number 5. Number 5, you could have put what was supposed to be number 5 all the way down to number 18, which would then it would show up as a 10% because that's the lowest we go. And you've really undervalued something that was important. Also, if you notice on the list, there were 9, I'll call them good things, things that add value, and there were 9 things that, well, don't typically add value, like a short circuit or a rubbish heap or something like that. Those are in the bottom half, right? And then you have things like a good meal and a uniform, things like that. They can be good sort, right? There's no badness in them. And I say that because it has nothing to do with badness, but where you rank them is really important. Now, some of you put some things that were in the good category. You put them near the bottom, and other people put some bad things near the top. And those are okay. That's where it's showing you how screwed up your mom has made. No, I'm not talking about your mom. That's not nice. But I joke with my mom about how she's responsible for all my low VQs and all my bad habits. So really all this is pointing out is your brain is biased in one of these dimensions with your low VQs. And then what we try to do on the page is describe how that bias might show up for you. Okay? All right, so I'm on, what am I on, slide 15. Let's go to slide 16. See, Kathy, I'm trying to learn a new habit. Low VQs, they are limited perspectives, okay? Cognitive biases, like I just showed you. They often cause us emotional and physiological stress. And that's because there's part of the picture we don't see. And if something comes into our view that came from that blind spot, it startles us. And it hijacks our amygdala. And with that, our amygdala is that prehistoric part of our brain that determines fight, flight, or freeze whenever it recognizes an error or a threat. And so that's what happens. And so it often causes fear. And the fear, have any of you heard that fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real? Yeah, I heard that. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cute. Isn't it false evidence appearing real? And then I realized how that wasn't really serving anybody. Because if it's false evidence and it appears real, do you have any control over it? I mean, it appears real. What can you do? Well, I changed that because if you really want an acronym for fear, when you're in your low VQ, you will experience it. But because you now have your report, you could choose at any time not to be in your low VQ, because we're going to talk about how to shift, right? So if you choose to stay there, you are being fully engaged in avoiding reality. You know, that part of the reality that mental habit that you have blocks out. So why do we have low VQs? That's a good question. Well, there is an upside to our low VQs. They were valuing habits that in our past were valuable to us. And so don't talk to strangers. It was valuable to me at one time. And so Denise is asking, one of my VQs says that demanding is an upside and demanding is a downside. Absolutely, Denise. Because in the past, being demanding probably was an upside for you. In some way, it can serve you. It can, however, not that it does, but it can, however, get in your way as well. And it can actually be a downside today. Just like don't talk to strangers was an upside for me. Ugh. As a manager of an IT consulting company where I had 100 direct reports, that is not a good thing not to like to talk to strangers because I didn't know a lot of them before they reported to me. Is that making sense? So at one point in time, our low VQ probably helped us in some way. Maybe it was self-preservation. It did. It helped us. Now that you can recognize it, it might not serve you as much. So here are some of the challenges that are most predominant among folks like you that have taken the assessment in the past, right? Enjoying what you do, openness to advice and opinions, exploring possibilities, being at peace. How many of you, by raising hands over there, how many of you had one of these as your low VQ? Any of you have one of these as your low VQ? I should see almost every hand go up. Daniel says both. Yes, low VQs are the ones that are to the right of center with a number other than a 100. She has both as well. Yeah. Okay, good. Lots of hands going up over there. Yeah, most of you will have at least one of these four. So let's look at some of the most prominent ones and talk about what to do with them. So an example of a low VQ, being at peace. There's an upside that you'll notice, and I know many of you saw that, right? Where it says, you know, you can be passionate or focused or optimistic, challenging, those kind of things. Goal-oriented. Those are good traits. Would you agree? Those are good things to have. And however, if you look at the downside, it's going to say that you might be overly demanding, righteous, a perfectionist, unrealistic. And so these things can show up. So what we want you to do is read through the paragraphs and see if any of these do show up for you. And if they do, you can highlight them or circle them or whatever, so that you can keep them top of mind. So let's look at this. You may have unrealistic expectations about how everything and everyone in your life should be. I might have some unrealistic expectations of mine, but maybe not everyone else. May become frustrated or even angry when others don't measure. Oh, yeah, that's me. May believe that you know what's right and be intolerant of anything or anyone that suggests or demonstrates. No, I don't agree with that one. So it's okay. Ignore it. May easily go from excitement, passion, and hope to dejection, anger, and despair. The energy you expend being disappointed, frustrated, or even angry with situations or people can wear you down. So just highlight the stuff you agree with and ignore the rest of it. You're not going to agree with all of it. And you may notice as it goes through some of these, depending on the measurement, as it goes through the paragraph, it seems to get worse and worse and worse. And some of it you agree with and some of it you don't. So again, that is okay, because what we're doing on these pages is we're trying to guess at how the thought might show up for you in real life. And since there are 6.4 quadrillion ways to rank 18 items, I'm just letting you know we couldn't get all of them on a page. So we just do our best there. Let's see. Valuing what you do. Now, this has to do with finding value in the work that you do, and it relates to, do you find intrinsic value to it? Does what you do, can you see how what you do helps you become the person that you want to become? And if you notice here, underneath your perceptions and attitudes, it says, I see what I do as a means to an end. Meaning, you don't see what you do as a means to who you become. It's just a means to a paycheck. Listen, I gotta work anyways. And so it doesn't have to be fun, right? It's not always going to be fun or fulfilling. It's the price I have to pay, right? And that's your brain limiting your perspective and telling you that that's the story you have to stick with. And so you may feel, second paragraph, locked into a certain path or lifestyle or career choice. Or, Tracy, you don't understand. I have to take care of my parents. I need this money. My kids are going to college. I need to pay for their college. And you'll tell yourself these stories because you're only looking at part of the perspective. By the way, this happens to everyone in some way, shape, or form. It's not just with valuing what you do. So the upside is, hey, you can be reliable, tolerant, conscientious, right, hardworking, all that kind of good stuff. The downside is you can be a little close-minded and preoccupied, and I'm sorry the things don't match here because we updated the assessment recently. So you can be self-focused on what you, hey, listen, I just got to churn through this stuff, all right? Exploring possibilities. This is the worldview, external side of being at peace. But the upside is that you love to explore possibilities. So you see the bubble goes to the right. It means you overvalue exploring possibilities. And when that happens, you love being creative and imaginative and inventive, and you're progressive, right? We want to go forward and you want to make things happen. However, the downside is that you can be really opinionated and overbearing sometimes. Why? Because your brain is telling you that it's already looked at all the possibilities. You've already explored all the possibilities. Your brain is telling you you've explored all of them. And so now I'm coming up to you with another possibility and you're dismissing it. Because your brain is telling you it's smart. It already knows what it did and you don't have to listen to me. And then I feel devalued. But you don't mean to devalue me. Again, your brain is just showing you part of the picture. And that's what the bar means over here, is that this is a grayed out area that your brain just doesn't see anymore, right? It's filtering out the stuff here on the left and really overvaluing or only focusing on the stuff on the right. So being at peace, all these names, how do you come up? We came up with the name, Saad, by what the individual measurement means, the math behind it. In the reports, one only tests three items. The report that you took, I think what you're asking, the report that you took, I have 36 results for every one of you who took the assessment. I do not only have three results. I only present you with three results, and you might say that I'm being stingy. But if I gave you all 36, you'd be overwhelmed, and you wouldn't know what to do with them. Okay? So please trust me. I have tried giving people all 36. It doesn't work. It doesn't help. Because what ends up happening here is that... For this measurement, is that you, again, you've explored all the possibilities, you overvalue your ideas, and you can then become opinionated, overbearing, headstrong, the things that show up right there. All right. When you're operating from your cognitive biases, it often shows up with behaviors that we say are below the line. So you will hear thoughts in your head that you have to blame somebody else, that you have to make excuses, that you have to justify what you're doing, and or even deny that it's even happening. And I call it the line of truth is because your brain isn't seeing all of the truth or all of reality. It's making decisions based on partial truth. And this, you'll also notice, matches up with a fixed mindset. Because It is fixed. You're only seeing part of the picture. You may only be looking at maybe what's wrong and not what's right. So what can happen when you're stuck here below the line of truth is what I call emotional sensations. And many of us don't recognize the difference between true emotion and emotional sensation. Think about this. How many of you have been driving along and someone cuts you off in traffic, right? And then you get mad at them because they should know better. How dare they cut you? Whatever the story is that goes on in your head, right? And so you will feel something. You will feel some kind of emotion. And your brain will tell you, well, yes, you feel that way because they cut you off and your life was in grave danger. Okay, let's take a step back a second. Weren't you looking at them thinking, I bet they're going to just cut right over in front of me, right? And then they did. And then you got angry at them for doing what you thought they shouldn't do, but they did anyways. So you weren't in grave danger, but it still feels crappy. That is an emotional sensation, and it came from your low VQs, because you're only seeing part of the picture. And when you only see part of the picture, things that shouldn't be, which is what I'm going to call the unexpected, they cause what I alluded to earlier, this amygdala hijack. And so what happens is the amygdala recognizes an error, or it deems it a threat, but it's just an error in what somebody should do or shouldn't do. And when it does that, it shuts off blood flow to your prefrontal cortex and sends it out and sends a signal out to your body to release norepinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol, things that are going to make your muscles tense and react. It's going to send blood flow to your muscles and not to your brain. Okay? And it does that, well, because it's getting ready to defend itself. It thinks there's something wrong, and so it has to defend itself. So if somebody upsets you or there's an upset or problem in your life, where do you tend to feel it physiologically? Do you feel it in like your neck or shoulders or upper back? Some people who feel it there, you're getting ready to fight. Some of you might feel it in your low back or your hips, and you're getting ready to run. Now, not that you're actually going to run, right? But that's what the mechanism that's going on in your body, right? And then if you feel it in your stomach, you're usually getting ready to curl up like an armadillo. Sometimes it goes all the way up, Denise says, her throat. Sometimes that feeling where you're just stuck can go all the way up into your esophagus and throat too. So Saad says, how can you prevent an amygdala hijack even if crap is... I don't know what that means. How can you... You can't really prevent amygdala hijacks. I mean, you can. Firefighters learn how to do that, right? While we're running out of burning buildings because our amygdala is hijacked, they're running into it because they've desensitized that. And you can do the same thing. However, the initial part is going to be for you to use mindfulness to recognize you're in an amygdala hijack. And that's the cool... If you feel something, a sensation like what we just talked about, you're going to feel it physiologically or experience it emotionally. And what happens in our brain is we tend to add more weight to those experiences as if they're real because we feel something real, physiologically, emotionally. And in truth, it's not. It's been created by a thought. It's been created by an expectation of what's going on. So being aware of what's going on can help you avoid or quickly eliminate an amygdala hijack. Now, once it's happened, remember I told you those chemicals are going through your bloodstream? It takes between 18 to 20 minutes for you to feel physiologically back to normal, back to baseline. So how many of you have been startled by something, right? And you, your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up. You can just sense like the adrenaline in your veins. And then you realize, oh, it was nothing. But for the next 15 or so minutes, you're still going to feel jazzed. You're still going to feel pumped up. That's what an amygdala hijack does. Okay? So understand that these may feel like emotions, but they aren't true emotions. And you can read more about this in a book called You Are Not Your Brain by Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz. Really, some really cool stuff there. So let's see what time is. Good. So let me talk to you about the anatomy of a habit. Denise says something, a trained mind and a trained memory. Yes, I don't know if the question was yes or no. But yes, you can train your mind through mindfulness to be more aware of those things, just like you can train your memory, as we talked about in that Q&A, I think, to be better. So yes, in response to amygdala hijacks, absolutely. You can do it, and you can experience those kind of things. For instance, I mean, I've jumped out of a perfectly good airplane when for about 45 years of my life, I swore I would never do that. But once I jumped out and I intentionally hijacked my amygdala. Yeah. And then you can really, truly experience, oh, that's what that feels like, right? When people laugh at me right nowadays, but you can come up right behind me and slam a ruler down on the desk right behind me, and I won't jump. I don't know why. People think that I don't have any reflexes, but it doesn't trigger that a typical amygdala hijack because maybe it was my three sisters. I don't know. They were always banging stuff around. I don't jump to that kind of stuff. But I have a friend who was abused as a child by her. So every loud noise she hears, she jumps. And again, it's just habits of mind. What's going on up there and being able to recognize them. Your VQ profile helps you understand where you might have these emotional sensations. So let's talk about the anatomy of a habit. So let's say, okay, that's you don't have to read all of those measurements there. Let's just say that I'm going to pull three measurements off of a report. Being at peace, being resilient, appreciating your wisdom. Let's say those are low VQs for you. Now, this is my lame drawing of a neuron and the axons that come off of it. And this is what's going on in your brain, okay? So the more you use a connection, the more those little arms with little catcher's mitts that you're going to have that are attached to a perspective, okay? Now, a stimulus happens, and let's say in this case, the stimulus is somebody tells you you're wrong. When that happens, if you're looking at it from a narrow perspective, you're going to see it as a threat. And that's going to cause you to react, right? And so let's say being at peace is the perspective that was triggered. What's going to happen is you're going to get real defensive, and you're going to say, no, I'm right, you're wrong, you idiot. Right? You'll be defensive towards it. However, let's look at the upside, right? Because remember, there are upside. You're also going to appear like you're pretty passionate about whatever it is we're talking about. Now, let's say being resilient is the little catcher's mitt that gets triggered, right? What happens there? You might hear something in your head that says, oh, why is everything always such a battle? And you're going to get frustrated because somebody told you you're wrong. So you're not going to stand up to them. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to take it internally. And people from the outside, they're going to think, oh my goodness, look how flexible she is. That's wonderful. Now, if appreciating your wisdom, meaning you don't appreciate your wisdom, that's your low VQ, and it's the one that gets triggered by somebody telling you wrong, you're going to be like, oh, probably right. I mean, really, what do I know? I don't appreciate my wisdom. I've been stupid in the past. And so you're going to feel dejected. Well, as I look at you, because again, you're feeling dejected, but I don't know you're dejected. This is all going on in your head. I'm going to say, oh, look how humble he is. Isn't that nice? Well, and what can happen with your low VQs, if you'll notice, And then if you get the full report, which I offer you guys a discount on that if you want it. I'm not here to sell you a report, but if you want it. What you'll notice is that your low VQs can just keep spinning and spinning in your head. Do you ever have those thoughts of like doom and gloom of what if, what if, what if? I mean, my partner, we're redoing the kitchen, and it's amazing. We're having the cabinets painted. We are on day 3 today. But on day 2, she wakes up in the middle of the night and is worried about the contractor that we hired. Meanwhile, he's done nothing wrong. He's done exactly what he told us he was going to do. In the time frame he told us he was going to do it. I mean, what contractor does that? Seriously. And it just kept spinning. Oh, well, what if he chose the wrong paint? What if we need a latex? What if we need a flat? What if we need... I don't know. I don't know anything about that stuff, so I don't even know what I'm saying. But it just keeps spinning. And our low VQs will tend to do that to us. Okay? So I want you just to be aware of this and be able to recognize it. Because what ends up happening is these habits, they're not permanent. Even if your brain tells you that's just the way I am, it's not. It's the way you're choosing to be. Because people can and do transform all the time. Now, most of the time, it's by accident in response to some life events. Yet, you can do it intentionally. You can transform intentionally and, in a sense, instantaneously. Now, how do you do that? Well, Denise says, I forcefully say shut up to myself when my mind is spinning. I like that. I don't know if it works a lot for you. Putting attention on the thoughts actually can make them stronger. So let's talk about fixing or compensating for weaknesses, because it rarely works for a long-term solution. It'll work temporarily, but if you say, I say this to myself all the time, then it's only working temporarily, right? So here's what I was told when I didn't like to speak in front of people, right? Because I was afraid of strangers. I was told, fake it till you make it. And some people are like, Tracy, that's what I do. That's a wonderful thing to say, and that's what you should do. Okay, great. However, one of my highest core values is integrity. And if you're telling me I have to fake it until I make it, I'd rather not make it than go against something that is a core value of mine. Oh, other times people say, well, hey, positive thinking, Tracy, just tell yourself some positive thoughts. And I'm like, sure thing. So whenever I get up there to speak, you know, if you're hearing that thought that says, I'm a loser in your head, Tracy, just tell yourself you're a winner. And this is what happens. I start, okay, I feel like I'm a loser, right? And then I remember, oh, Tracy, tell yourself you're a winner. So I say, I'm a winner. What's the very next thought I have? Does anybody know? My very next thought is, what kind of loser has to tell herself she's a winner? Yeah, Daniel's got it. No, I'm not. Yep, a big nod from Kathy. Absolutely. Yeah, what kind of loser has to say that? So positive affirmations does not work long term, because what it does is a thought is electricity, and electricity doesn't care which way it flows. Thoughts that are fired together wire together. Thoughts that are wired together thus fire together. And so if you connect a good thing with a bad thing, all you're doing is causing yourself to go back and forth between angel on your shoulder, devil on your shoulder, every time you make a decision in that genre, right? So positive thinking and affirmations, they will work. Just it's really hard, and sometimes they don't last long term. How about feel the pain and do it anyway? I mean, really, who wants to do that? So that's not very helpful. So, I mean, and I'm an athlete too, so yeah, you can work through that, but you're doing something more. So how do we fix low VQs is one of the most asked questions I get. And my answer to you is, you don't. And some of you just got really sad. You're like, why'd I take this damn class? here's what you do instead, I promise you. Here's what you use your mindfulness to become aware of your low VQs. That's why we show them to you, only to help you practice mindfulness. Then you ignore the thoughts from your low VQs, okay? Then what do? Well, you shift to your VQ100s, and that's really what this is all about. And I apologize for going, I'm going to go a little bit long. I know I usually go past 12:30 Central, but I really want to cover this for you because I know so many of you are interested in that. So Benjamin Franklin said, your net worth to the world is usually determined by what remains after your bad habits are subtracted from your good ones. How about that, huh? So you now have in your hands a way to increase your good ones and decrease your bad ones. So VQ100, what does that mean? That means when you look at the world from that perspective, if you could magically put yourself in that perspective, you would see everything very clearly. And that's amazing. This is your cognitive asset. I think this is on page 8, right? It's your strongest, your best perspective of thought. It's the perspective that has great value in helping you maximize your success. And the cool thing is, it isn't magic. You can consciously choose to view the world from this high VQ perspective. And when you do, you're going to see that your choices and actions, they feel pretty good and naturally produce good results because they're aligned with the natural laws of value. That's what that means. When you have a green 100%, it means that your thinking is naturally aligned with the natural laws of value. Just like a person with longer fingers can better play a piano. Just like Usain Bolt with his lanky figure, right? And he can take strides and run faster than any other human ever has in 100 meters. You have some natural abilities. Now, these aren't physical abilities that I just talked about or attributes. These are mental ones, cognitive assets, right? So, a simple axiom for you. The more out of sync we are with the hierarchy of value that we talked about in the last lesson, the more mistakes we make, the more value we destroy, the more suffering we create, and the more of our potential we stifle. The more aligned our thinking is with the natural laws of value, the greater value we can create, the more happiness we can experience, and the more success we can achieve. So now the question is, how do we do that, right? Well, remember I told you there are 6.4 quadrillion ways to rank 18 items. You did it twice. So there's 12.8 quadrillion possible VQ profiles that are out there, right? And each of the 36 measurements have an impact. So Saad says, what's HOV? HOV is the hierarchy, the mathematical hierarchy of value that we talked about last week from Value Dynamics, the intrinsic, extrinsic, systemic. So what does this mean? Well, you'll see some low VQs. They all have certain attributes and characteristics that can be associated with them. Those ones, perfection, unrealistic expectations, allocating your time and energy, if that one's out of whack, poor time management. But we want to look at the other ones, the ones that are 100s. Why? Because as I mentioned earlier, what's wired together fires together, and what's fired together wires together. So activation, habituation. There's also this process, if you don't continue to activate a neural pathway, right? If you do not activate the wired together pieces, there's this thing called synaptic pruning. And it allows us to neutralize those old habits. We don't have to break them. There's nothing to break. We just have to not use them. And they will atrophy, and our brain will naturally prune off the atrophied neural connections. So when your brain tells you things like, that's just the way I am, because of neuroplasticity, and you can look up more on that, but it's our brain's ability to rewire itself. When you hear the thought, that's just the way I am, it's a total lie. The The truth is that's the way you're choosing to be. So, how do we shift? Because this is really what we want to do. We want to shift our perspective to transform our perception. Because if you can transform what you perceive, you're going to be able to transform your life. If you want to learn more about this neuroplasticity stuff, I want to recommend a book to you. It's called The Brain That Changes Itself by Dr. Norman Doidge. And this is even more extreme than what we're talking about. Dr. Doidge, he studied people whose brains had been damaged or destroyed. Parts of their brain had been damaged or destroyed. And they were able to retrain another part of the brain to do what the damaged part used to do. And that's neuroplasticity right there. We tend to think that's the way that we are. Now, some of us have physiological, chemical, different kinds of imbalances in our... I'm not saying that this will cure all of those kinds of things, okay? Please don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is you have some habits you want to overcome. You have some things you should be doing that you're not, and you have some things you shouldn't be doing that you are. That's what this is about. So if you want to, you can find that in the reference section on the webpage, okay? All right, now on to slide 34. Think. This has to do with the power of your VQ100. Our cognitive assets are ways that are already aligned with that hierarchy of value. Remember, those are the natural laws of value. It's sort of like gravity is a physical law of value, right? A natural physical law. So your VQ100s. Now, all you have to do is shift to those, and you will instantly eliminate the negative influences of your low VQs. You'll be able to transform your perceptions by turning threats into opportunities, by turning a fixed mindset into a growth mindset. And you'll be able to activate your best, most capable ways of thinking and hopefully take action from those to make an immediate improvement in your performance. So this is going to help you engage those natural mechanisms you already have. So how do you do it? Okay, you remember this picture here before we triggered all our crappy low VQs and we reacted to that stimulus. Now what you can do is activate your assets, right, by switching to that VQ100. So I picked a couple of them here. But from your VQ100s, those problems, somebody telling you you're wrong, is now looked at as an opportunity. When you use those centering questions that are in the middle of the page. So if nurturing others is a strength of yours, there's some centering questions in the middle of the page that go something like, oh, wonder what they're experiencing. So if somebody tells you you're wrong, you are empathic, but you can also be passionate. If somebody tells you you're wrong and you're really good at improving things and you look at it from that perspective, you're going to say, what matters most, or what is it that they see, and how can I use that to improve things? So now, rather than being frustrated, you're going to be intentional and flexible. So you're not losing the stuff that you had from your low VQ. You already have it in your VQ100s. Now let's say valuing yourself is your VQ100. Somebody tells you you're wrong. Well, what can I learn? By asking a question, you will instantly shift into these perspectives, not by telling yourself, because nobody likes to be told what to do. And so you're gonna naturally trigger your curiosity. Is that making sense? And then, as you can see, as you keep using those, as you keep asking your centering questions, keep using those perspectives more, you'll see more axons start growing off of them. Okay, you won't see it. It happens in your brain. But it will happen, and you'll get to those thoughts more easily. But if you also look to the other side, where we had our low VQs, there's a process called synaptic pruning, which is going to take those other ones, those other axons away. And so rather than having habits that come from your low VQs, you will have memories of what it was like to be afraid to talk in front of 5 people. And now I speak in front of thousands. And so that's really what it's all about. So just some strengths, examples, valuing yourself is usually a pretty popular one. And then there's some others there. So valuing yourself, let's look at how do you shift? Because that's really what we want to get to. How do you shift? Well, if you're going through your report, one of the things I want you to notice underneath potential strengths when living from this perspective is you're going to notice that there are some attributes or characteristics that you have the capacity to be, not that you are, okay? You have the capacity to be, if this is self-accepting, self-respecting, self-forgiving. This was one of my strengths, and I was far from self-forgiving. But to know that I had the capacity to do that was something that changed my life, right? And then you'll have these things called centering questions. And that's really where you're going to spend your time. That's how you're going to shift. So valuing yourself, what are those centering questions? And how do you use them? So let's say your amygdala has been hijacked. Somebody has ticked you off. Again, if this is your strength, this might not be one of your VQ100s, but if it is, you would go in your mind to that place where they ticked you off. And that, just ask yourself, what do I know about my ability to grow and become better? Okay, in just asking the question, you don't even have to answer it. Just asking the question, do you feel better? Does it feel lighter? Do you feel like there's more maybe opportunities than threats? Okay, if the answer is no, don't worry about it. Let's go to the next one. Okay, put yourself in that situation. That jerk is frustrating you again. Does how I'm feeling, thinking, or acting right now support who I aspire to be? This is my favorite question of all time because this is one of my strengths. And so whenever I want to be mean or nasty or angry or, you know, get some retribution, revenge, I ask myself, does that support who I aspire to be? And just by asking the question, I don't even have to say no, right? Just by asking the question, I feel, okay, I know what I need to do now, all right? How can I use my gifts, past experience? So I want you to do that with your centering questions because the significant problems we face today cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. So we want to get above that line of truth and move from victim to victor. And you do that by tapping into your coach and silencing your critic. And your coach is that VQ100. And it's questions that are going to pull you into that perspective. Yeah, Denise says, I don't see the potential strengths when living. It's whatever is under the second paragraph. I did not update my slides when we updated the report. So it's just whatever's under the second blue heading. And I can look at that. So sorry, Denise. All right. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick out one or two of the centering questions that help you the most, that resonate with you the most. And you're going to start to repeat those questions to yourself on a daily basis. So let's get into the three R's of habit formation. We're going to get more into this in the Q&A period as well. Every habit you have follows the same three-step pattern of when you created it. It started with a reminder or a trigger, went on to a routine, and then a reward. So here's an example. Your phone rings, that's a reminder. You answer it, that's your routine, and your reward is you figure out who's calling, okay? If the reward's positive, then you're going to want to repeat the routine. If it's a telemarketer, you're going to want to let it ring, right? Or thank God for caller ID. Repeat the same action a number of times, it becomes a habit. And I got this off of James Clear's site, jamesclear.com. He does a lot of stuff about habits. You'll find a link as well in the notes on our website. And so Ogmandino says this. He says, in truth, the only difference between those who have failed and those who have succeeded lies in the difference of their habits. Good habits are the key to all success. Bad habits are the unlocked door to failure. It's a great book, The Greatest Salesman in the World, if you haven't read it. So your VQs and your new habits, let's look at how are you going to select a reminder to remember to ask yourself your questions. Maybe you want to start practicing using your questions before you go into a meeting. And so you're going to use a doorknob or the handle to a conference room or your phone as your reminder to ask yourself your centering question. So pick a cue for your new habit. Maybe it's when you get in the shower, you're going to ask yourself your centering questions. Maybe it's when you put on your shoes or brush your teeth. I don't know what it is. Flush the toilet. It doesn't matter. Ask yourself, pick a cue or a reminder to ask yourself your centering questions. Because it's not about self-control or willpower. It's going to be all about value. You're going to always choose to do things that generate the greatest value. All right? So think about your cue and your reminder. Pick whatever that's going to be. Pick something that happens every day, or pick something that you do every day. So the previous list was something you might do every day. These are things that happen every day. So you only have to pick one of those. All right? And then set up your routine. It's not always about big, huge changes, all right? It's about little ones. So make it easy to start. Make it so easy that it's hard to say no. So it can be something really small like floss one tooth. Put on just one of your workout shoes. Pick up your pen if you need to start writing letters to people. Open the door. I don't know what it is. Make it so simple that the next step naturally follows. Whatever that routine happens to be. For you, I'm hoping it's going to be asking yourself some questions. And then simply take the next small step. Please don't make it you want to create a new habit to work out every morning of every day. Okay, that's a little over the top. Well, unless you already do that. Pick something that's simple. Success is nothing more than a few simple disciplines practiced every day. Sounds like Iron Man training. Almost, maybe, right? It's about forming new habits, and so Iron Man training is kind of about that, right? The next thing, which most of you will overlook, is to reward yourself. I want you to celebrate the small, seemingly meaningless, insignificant steps that you take towards developing your new habit. Celebrate with a, well, whatever that is that that guy's doing, just a big stretch. Tell yourself, yay, victory, success, whatever, attaboy, attagirl, whatever it is. Or maybe you just want to do a little fist pump like that, right? Because here's the thing, improving 1% every day, right, gets you up to 38% better throughout the year. 38 times better, I'm sorry. If you decline by 1% every day, you won't have it at the end of the year, whatever that it is. And so your homework is going to be to create your habit loop. When I fill in the blank, which is your reminder, I will do your routine because it provides me with what's your reward. Okay? So that's going to be your homework. You'll see it in there. Because Dr. Hartman said this. He said, what good does it do a person to know all about the potential inner strength he has if in practical everyday situations he can't use it? And that's what I want you to be able to do. You have a tremendous strength, a natural strength inside your brain already there. And it may be just potential. I want you to bring it out into this world and share that gift with everybody. Okay? So here's your homework. Okay, Khursheed, bye. I know you have to hop off. And again, I apologize for going long. Here's your homework. Use your first steps report and your centering questions, which I believe are on page 8, to form a new habit loop. Okay? Choose it and practice it. All right? And then our next session is going to be a Q&A session. And it is not going to be in the next 2 weeks because I already have previous engagements. So just like last time, I'm going to put a QA from the Q&A session up from the previous group that went through it, and I'll send you a reminder. Hopefully you can listen to that. And then when we come back around, which will be on, what day is that? March? Is it March? Will it be March? It'll be, yes. March 5th. Yes, that's the day. Sorry. I think that's what, is that the right day? How come it shifted on me? No, it can't be March 5th. That's not a Wednesday. It will be March 8th. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. March 8th will be the next time that we are live. That'll be a Q&A. So whatever questions you come up with, and by the way, I apologize for this big gap, but so please email me whatever questions you have. And what I will do is, if in this two-week time period there's enough questions, I'm going to send out a blast and answer them for you. Whether I do it in a video or in an email, I will be happy to do that. I know you have lots of questions, and I know this isn't a good time to leave you on your own, so I apologize. But it does, yes, it gives you more time to practice the stuff that you've learned, and I hope you will use, I'm hoping and praying, look, I'm putting my two hands together and you can't even see me. I'm praying that that's what you'll do with this time, that you will practice your mindfulness, practice shifting to a growth mindset, and practice using your strength and creating new habits around your strengths, okay? Because we need your gifts in this world, so bring it to us, okay? Awesome. Any questions? Do you guys have any questions? Again, I apologize for going over. I get so excited about this, and I sometimes do that. Sorry about that. Here's the books that I referenced here today. Thank you, Crystal. I appreciate it. I think I only lost about half of you because you guys are at work and stuff, but it's good. All right. I don't see any questions. I know it was a lot of information, so I'll say bye to you guys and stop the recording, but I'll stay on the line in case anybody has anything, okay? So bye for now. I will see you guys live again on March 8th, but please check the website. I'll put another Q&A out there for you next week. All right. Bye for now, guys. All right. I'm still here, but let me know if you have any questions. Bryce, what did you say? What if I know I got an answer wrong? I don't even know what that means, Bryce. What does that mean? Do you want to come off mute? I can have you do that if you want to explain. We're not recording, so you won't get in any trouble. Like the trash heap valued in Buddhism as fertilizer for growth. Oh, okay, excellent. No, Bryce, those are all really, really cool questions. Like torturing a person. Some people, you know, believe that that can be a good thing too, because we get intel out of it, right? And it might save lots of people. What this assessment measures is how you think. And so look at what you did. You took, I think it's three words, a rubbish heap, right? You took three words and your brain added to it. It turned it into fertilizer, right? A person saw torturing a person or whatever it happens to be in a concentration. That's probably not a good example. But some people will see, oh, a baby, for instance. They'll see a baby. Let's take something that's good. And they'll say, oh, crap, you know, my son is a loser. He's in jail. He does drugs. And so they'll put a baby low. But look at what it's two words, a baby. And what we're doing is looking at what our mind actually does to the thought that we have. And that's what it's measuring. Because sometimes we don't perceive what it really is. We add to it. Yeah, and Bryce, he's in, maybe I should just leave my answers as is because I did pretty close to how I think. Yeah, and you should. Again, this isn't about right or wrong. And so I appreciate, I probably know some of your low VQs, Bryce, because of the questions that you ask. Because your mind is telling you it's important that the assessment be right and that you be right. And that's overvaluing the systemic, overvaluing the right and wrong. The intent is just so that you can take a look at how you think. And when you look at it from a growth mindset, you'll be able to see how those thoughts can show up in your life. That's good, Bryce. Bryce says, this is an interesting set of work, and I'm glad I haven't had to read all of those books. Yeah, very good. Yes. And again, as we go through the next, the last three sessions that we have coming up, I'm going to be able to hopefully pull all of this together. So thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? I see quite a few of you still online. I like to hang out just in case. And you guys have stayed so long. Of course I'm going to stay on. If you have any questions? No? All right. Everyone's kind of quiet. So I'll catch you guys on March 8th. Thanks again for being here, and bye for now.